Now, the second all is found in verse 7. Read verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, these men, these disciples, as I suggested, they were gods by creation, not by salvation. And he wants these disciples now to be his disciples and to propagate the truth while he's gone. Now, this is a task that is failing many assemblies. I told you we were in Florida, we went to St. Pete's Chapel, and there were only 8 people there. We went there 30 years ago, and the place was packed. So there's been a decline. When Jesus left, he gave a great commission to all those who love him. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Outreach is not easy. Our assemblies are getting older, and for many of us, it's difficult. Outreach methods have changed. When I was young, you could go out in the street corners and preach the gospel and no one would stop you. We did it. We preached the gospel on playgrounds. 17 years old, I saw 13 young people come to Christ through preaching on a playground. But those things have changed. And one of the things that's changed is the local church has to serve the community some way, somehow. Well, when we were in Florida at Boca Raton Chapel, which is dying, they had a lot of snowbirds, a lot of elders from assemblies all over Canada and the northern states. And a lot of those men who came down to Boca, some of them knew carpentry, some knew finances. One was knew a lot about sailing. They all had excellent credentials. So I made a suggestion to the brethren in Boca. Why don't you have 1 month seminar? And they had a building next to their building, not a gym, a little hall where they had all their meals, and hold for the community, free, give advice on some of the details of how to be successful in living. Because they were in a neighborhood that wasn't with the wealthy, people didn't have money. And I said, I can mention 12 men that might want to do that, one for each month on a different discipline that would help the community. Some had to do with baking, cooking. Some of the women who and seamstress, and how to help the community. I got zero. I failed 100%. So then I said, show a Christian film. Advertise it. They did do that. They showed a film. We took a Jewish couple with us. It was about firefighters. 70 people showed up. 68 of them were Christians. No one brought anybody to the film. So a brother got up during the aftermath of this and said, we failed, miserably failed. We didn't show, we didn't you to come as a time to see a film by yourself. We were supposed to bring friends with you to the film. So our assemblies in many parts are dwindling. For the simple fact is they got to keep up the times and see what type of evangelism works for that particular area. So these men, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And they know surely that I came forth from you, and that they believe that you sent me. For what reason? They believe this. And so the Lord's going to put into their hands, eventually into our hands, this great task of trying to reach the communities where we find ourselves for Christ. Now, I gathered from the meeting in Boca that the attitude was, we don't have time, we don't have the resources, we can't do it. Well, a dear brother who was a multimillionaire left them two empty apartments so they could house someone who would like to come into the area, some young couple, and help them. Well, they took it as they have sort of a three-month conference in the wintertime. And the snowbirds all come in, and maybe there's 50, 60 that come to the meeting and see how nice it is. And the minute they leave, they're back down to 12 to 15. But it's the idea of trying to do something to win souls to Christ. Now, I have a brother. His motto for his life was, if I don't witness to three people a day, I have not served my Lord purposefully or rightly. Opportunities present themselves, but we don't always take advantage of those opportunities. And so we're left with a humongous task of outreach. Now, we like being together, and it's wonderful to have the Lord's Supper and to have ministry meetings and to be together in fellowship. There's a lot of rottenness outside in society, and it's a comfort to us. But there has to be a burden in our hearts, because we're left with this task. We have the Word of God, we have the life of Christ, we have the death of Christ on the cross for our sins. We have the message, but maybe we don't have the means, or the men, or the women. So when we were in Clinton, they have some nice people there. We made a suggestion because their outreach program is falling apart. I said, the Assembly College, I forgot the name of it, is graduating young people to serve the Lord somewhere. So I went to the Clinton people and I said, look, make inquiries. Why don't you get a young couple in here? I even took that idea, back to Boca Raton. You have empty apartment. They can live there and serve the Lord here and maybe get some evangelism. They're young. They're willing. They're graduating for that reason. No inquiries. Nothing was done. So we have this great commission. And we say this, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. We have the knowledge. We have the heart's desire. What do we do? What are you doing? What are we doing? Well, maybe my own self, sometimes we're very negative. I mean, no one seems to care anymore. Well, then we have to change to make them care. How can we present? You know, this idea of having gospel meetings weekly, that's out. People aren't coming to church. In fact, they're leaving. What ideas? I said to one group, get together. Get everybody together, and let's have just an open, we used to call it a whiteboard. You get a whiteboard. Any idea, just throw it up there. Might be the most stupid idea in the world. Let's make peanut butter sandwiches. You know, I don't, any old stuff. And you sit there and you look at that and you eliminate. We could never do that as an assembly. That's too far-fetched. We don't have the personnel to do that. We can't do anything here. This one. Oh, baking classes for the community. Oh, okay. Or whatever. Because there's a lot now in health and wellness. But it's the idea of trying to get the gospel out, to see souls saved. So that's one of the things that he's leaving with these men, that they have the truth, and now they're going to take that truth and present it to others. The next now is in verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. This is not so much evangelism now. This is the Christian life lived in community. We may not be used to that. Before we came to know Christ, some of you were very individualistic. You did things your way. You had to get by, to live. But then all of a sudden you met Christ and you became part of the family of God, more than just you now. He's put you into a local setting, a local body. And no, you're not. You're living. You want your life to count for him. You're living your life to honor him. Maybe you're doing a lot of witnessing on your own. That's fine. But now he wants you to live with others. But he wants you to be one. He wants you to be one. I often ask myself the question, and maybe you've asked yourself this question, and I've done it here before. When you come to this meeting, is it because you don't want to be criticized? Oh, he's not coming to, or she's not coming to the meeting. I better go to church. Or is this home? Is this a meeting that you enjoy being in? You enjoy participating, you enjoy listening to the ministry, you enjoy the meetings. You enjoy the fellowship. He wants us to live a life that brings glory to his name together. Well, you can't be together if there's always something you're picking at. I like going to the meeting, but I just can't stand Susie Q. She's always got her mouth open, that, but, or We have a wonderful set of elders, but one of them's too short. I mean, I'm just making up silly things. But this happens. Well, being an elder is not an easy office. But I'm sure the elders appreciate any constructive statement. We can nag, we can say, be indifferent. The elders have a lot more knowledge of what's going on in this meeting than the average person here. There's a lot they have to keep to themselves so that they won't burden the children of God. But they do respond to comments. They do respond to needs, and they should. This makes for growth. This makes for interaction. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement. And they need to be complimented. Never hesitate to say a kind word to anyone in this meeting. To be one, it takes give and take on our part. We have to be very, very careful. As we fellowship and as we grow up together, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to hurt somebody's feelings and not realize it. So let me just say this. If you do feel hurt by someone, go to that person and not to the elders first. If the person treats you badly and says, "Oh, I thought you had more thicker skin than that, you idiot," then the matter gets a little worse. I don't quite understand something that I have to think about. Why are mature Christians so easily offended? You would think if you're a young person in Christ and someone says something to you, your feelings are hurt, you feel crushed. But in our travels, we find that it's not the young people that are being offended, it's some of the stalwarts, those who you'd think could handle a mistake or a problem or a thoughtless word. But we need to be praying for each other. Some of you have jobs that are very stressful. You don't share that necessarily with the assembly, but pray for each other in the workplace, in the home setting, when you're on vacation, when you're with the Lord in a quiet time. We need to fellowship as believers and enjoy that fellowship. It's not always easy to share our sorrows and to share our joys with other believers. It says, "Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice." I find that we don't do a bad job weeping with those who weep, but sometimes we neglect to rejoice with those who rejoice. Suppose someone here, in a nothing formal, said I had an opportunity today to witness to my neighbor. Well, what are you bragging about? No, I'm sharing that with you. So the person who's heard that feels guilty. He's out witnessing. I haven't witnessed anybody for 5 years. Shut up. Rejoice with the person who's telling you something that you should be rejoicing about. Just praise God that you had that opportunity. Just as well as saying, I heard, Mary, that you have cancer. My heart goes out to you. Both are necessary in the household of faith. But there has to be a certain honesty with oneness. You can't be two people and find oneness. Already you're divided. If you're two people, if out there in the world you're worldly and here you're spiritual, it doesn't work. Out there, you have to be the same person you are here. Now, we hope we're all growing in the things of God. And you feel like, I need to share something, a burden that you have. That can be disastrous, or it can be a godsend. In our fellowship, we get to know each other, our strength, our weaknesses. Some of us have a difficult time hearing someone else's problem. It crushes us. And we can't get ahead. Then you can't share with that person. I'm not saying that that person's wrong. It's just that the delicacy of their life makes it difficult for them. Try as they will, they can't hear any negative input. But then there are others that you know that would be there at your side. So it's a struggle. No one said it was going to be easy, the sharing matter in the fellowship of God's house. Keep through your name those whom you have given. Keep through your name. Keep us faithful. Keep us honest. Keep us transparent. Keep us Christ-like. And then verse 11 is the fourth. Oh, no, verse 13, I mean, is the fourth now. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. One of the great truths of the Christian faith is eternity with God forever. That's the great hope. Everything we do to the glory of God because we know that one day we will be with Him and like Him, and we will be changed. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I'm leaving, but I'm leaving my word. In 1 John chapter 1, you don't have to be there to taste, touch, feel, see. You see without having those sensations picked, pricked, or stimulated. He's gone, this Lord of glory that we love. But he's left us his word. And so it's as if, and so we have to, all of us, we have to read the word, not imagine with the idea that this is truth. And we live by that truth because he gave us that truth. He's there, he's alive, he's living. He's given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us the body of Christ, he's given us our own understanding of ourselves, and so we live without fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When I read that years ago, I thought, why didn't he say hate? The opposite of love is hate. No, it's fear. Fear of man, fear of dying, fear of not achieving, fear of indifference. He's instilling within us his character through his word that we might enjoy the God of heaven, the eternal realm, that we might enjoy making him known to the world, that we may enjoy living together, and that we might be individuals who triumph. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for such a Savior. How wonderful it is to hear the words of the Lord Jesus here today, his prayer. So thankful for what he's done, that we might live lives that are worthwhile to him. We might not always exceed in man's eyes, but as your children, we have a different judge. And we're grateful for that judge. And we're grateful for the life that we have in Christ and the eternal life given to us because of what he did at the cross. Help us this week to reach out, to reach in, to reach up. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.